You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Hope you had a good weekend. And once again, we talk about couple of nuts who decided to that killing people is a solution to their problem. You know, and the way that will go is the way it always tends to go, in spite of you have what different local political officials that are dealing with this stuff, despite them saying, we're sick and tired of this discussion, we need the lawmakers of this country to do their job. In spite of that, right, there will be political fodder made of this, right? Interestingly enough, the president says he wants tighter gun control. So it's kind of one of the things that has been atypical about President Trump is that, you know, he's talked about the, you know, his willingness as a conservative. Yeah, it's my house. As a conservative to entertain greater gun legislation. And I think, you know, we've had conversations on the program before about, you know, gun control, closing loopholes at gun shows and those kind of things, you know, making sure that if you have if the state has a database where it tracks people that have threatened or somehow or other have mental health issues, that is cross-indexed with firearms databases. But I will tell you this, it just doesn't seem that in a free nation whose Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, you know, you can certainly make it harder, right? In a case of what, the shooting in Texas where he went, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's an Air Force veteran. If the Air Force had kept their database up, you know, in theory, he would not have been able to buy a gun. But there always seems to be a way, right, for somebody who wants to do these kind of things. And so, you know, I said this before, and actually gave a little class yesterday I was at the Orange County Fairgrounds. Actually, across the street from the Orange County Fairgrounds, you'll find Costa Mesa High School, where you can park to go to not only the Orange County Fair, but you can go watch the Chargers practice and park there too. So what the city does is it blocks off Costa Mesa High School, and then you collect money for the Orange County Fair because it's parking for them, and the NFL people can park there too. And then your nonprofit organization gets paid money. So in this case, it was the Estancia High School Sports Boosters. So I'm out there guarding an entrance to Costa Mesa High School, making sure that nobody even entertains the idea that they're coming in that entrance, right? And so we talk about the news, and it's my ex-wife was there, and then my daughter and my daughter's friend. And so we're talking about the news, and this comes up. And so I look at Colleen's friend, and I said, okay, what do you do if you're someplace and somebody starts shooting? And she kind of looked at me like I was joking. And I said, what do you do? And she said, I don't know. Run. I said, what do you do when people are getting on the ground and somebody yells, get down? She said, get down. I said, no, don't get down. Run. Do you know how hard it is to shoot somebody when they're running? Right? You know how easy it is to shoot somebody when they're on the ground? So you have seconds to make a decision. So if you're really close to the shooter, you're probably going to die. What do? Throw things at them. Right? Your shoes, your backpack, right? Your jacket, whatever you have, you know, if you wind up near a fire extinguisher, take that thing and just shoot it into the air, right? Do something, fight. But if you're close, you're probably gonna get shot. You gotta fight. Do not lay on the ground. And so, you know, I taught my little class, right? I said, you know, a year ago, and I told a story about Colleen. She was so excited. I can't remember the name of the film, but they showed a film that was made by the Santa Ana Police Department here in Southern California about what to do. Colleen sent me a text. He said, Dad, I knew all the right answers. And I said, well, that's good. And I was pleased that, it's a sad fact of life in our country, that you have to have these discussions. But, you know, after all the political consternation and the hand-wringing and people making political points of it, you know, with this stuff, I think we all have responsibilities to our children. One is to try to prevent this and, from getting near schools. And, again, I've said this before. I think it's the most frustrating thing in the world. Look, if your school does not have an armed officer on the premises, then your school district is negligent. And I will tell you this, my daughter's school district is negligent. I've been to the high school, I've been to the school board, and told them, you have a moral obligation. You have a moral obligation to we parents that when we drop our kids off, we don't have to go to the morgue to pick them up because you didn't provide for their safety while they're here at school. And this happens over and over again. And so what are you gonna do? Look at us and say, well, the probability is really low. Really? And pat us on the head? Because if you hire those people, you can't give people the raises that you want to give them? I said, okay, if that's a problem, then let me tell you what you should do. Be a pioneer in saying that we need a federal program to augment security for schools. A public-private partnership. It's how we do roads. It's how we do interstate, right? That's how we do it. So anyway, then do that. But don't sit here and tell me you can't do it and that you're willing to roll the dice with my child's life. Because that isn't right. So anyway, So I've been down this road before. So, and you know, and at first it's kind of an awkward conversation to start with young people. But you know what? They're interested. I will tell you this, they've thought about it. And so I think that no matter what gets enacted, no matter what we try to do, the sad reality is these events are going to be in the American news. And so you have an obligation to your kids to teach them what to do, whether they're at school, you know, and teach people in your family. What do you do? And have that conversation so that they know, right, getting on the ground and hiding behind a table is probably not going to save their life. It might, right, but it'll be more luck. It'll be more luck than, it'll be more luck than skill at that point. Okay. And so anyhow, it's just unbelievable when you sit and watch that thing. Now I want to make another comment. Years ago, I watched the Columbine. The Columbine shootings like everybody did. And I was aghast at the police reaction to that, which was to show up outside and set up a perimeter while two young idiots went through a high school and killed people. Right? If you're in the law enforcement business, if you're in the military business, someday it might be your day. And you go that direction, you put your hand up knowing that. And so, as a police officer, you have to respond immediately. And if you don't know where they are, right? I mean, for instance, that day, they knew they were in the school. You go into the school, and what you have to do is you have to get their attention. You have to get them to focus on you instead of focus on killing kids. How do you do that, right? You shoot your pistol into a wall locker, right? Boom. What was that? Somebody just shot something and it wasn't us. Somebody else is here. And so you give people a chance to live. Now, you know, over the weekend, I just want to say that the police officers, law enforcement officers of the country have gone to school since then. And now they know they've got to go. Immediately they have to go. And to me, the patron saint, I need to look up the kid's name. Well, you know what? I'll look it up right now. There was a shooter in northwest Minnesota, and I want to say he went to Red Lake High School on a reservation. And there was an unarmed security guard outside. The Red Lake shootings were a killing spree that occurred on March 21st, 2005, in two places on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Red Lake, Minnesota. That morning, 16-year-old Jeffrey Weiss killed his grandfather, a tribal police officer, and his grandfather's girlfriend at their home. After taking his grandfather's police weapons and vest, Weiss drove to his grandfather's police vehicle to Red Lake Senior High School, where he had been a student some months before. Weiss shot and killed seven people at the school and wounded five others. The dead included an unarmed security guard at the entrance of the school, then a teacher and five students. Police arrived. He shot and killed himself in a vacant classroom. So to me, the patron saint of all of this, and I'm looking for the... His name is Derek Brian Brunn, who confronted this kid while he was unarmed. Right? And I've never forgotten that. You know, you watch movies and you see Native American warriors say, today's a good day to die. Well, nobody feels that. Nobody believes that. Nobody wants to die. But you know, someday, if you're in that position, you have to do those things. I just want to say the response of law enforcement, in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. I mean, they come running. They don't wait. They don't set up perimeters. And that thought went through my head over the weekend, that, you know, that the law enforcement community has made huge changes to the way they do business, and I think it's good. The let me tell you some good stuff that happened over the weekend. But I'll tell you this, our responsibility as parents and as leaders in community is to have a dialogue with our kids, with our family members, to make sure that they know what to do, because what used to be the unthinkable, it doesn't happen on a regular basis, but it happens on a frequent enough basis that, you know, that you should sit down and have a conversation with your kids. And I mean, and when I sat down with Colleen, I said, okay, let's talk about if there's a shooter that comes into your school. And she just looked at me, and she knew I was serious because of the tone of my voice. And so she said, okay. I said, so you're sitting in class and somebody walks in with a gun. I said, now, if you're close to that person, you're probably going to die. Right? And she looked at me. She looked at me like, I said, I need to tell you the truth because you're my daughter, okay? So what you have to do, Colleen, is you have to fight. Right? You pick up, you stand up, you throw your desk at him. Right, you throw your backpack, you throw your jacket, you throw your book, anything to get him to flinch. And if you're really close, if you can grab the weapon, just grab it and hold on to it as close, as tight as you can, and fall on the floor. Right? But you've got to fight. If you're in between, if you're near a fire extinguisher, grab that thing and just shoot it into the room. Shoot it towards him. And what that'll do is it'll create confusion, and he won't be able to see. And so, you know, you'll save people's lives, right? If you're near a window, throw something through the window or open the window, climb out and help other people out. Okay. And that's what you do not lay on the ground. Do not sit there and get shot. Okay? Fight. And so, anyway, I offer that to you. On a day when, I mean, it's just, how do you stop stuff like this? You know, how do you stop like that? And as I said, Derek Brian Brunn, you know, an unarmed, you know, school security officer, confronted that dude and was shot in the chest twice and killed. 28 years old. Let me tell you some awesome stuff that happened to me over the weekend. So I'm getting up yesterday or Saturday, and I'm going to clean up and do some stuff. And hold on, I'm hearing jets, which means I didn't shut the window. Give me 1 second. Well, I take that back. I did shut the window. They're just loud. Anyhow, I check the mail. And I look at the mail. And I get a letter from the U.S. Patent Office. Now, I'd gotten an email saying that they had approved my trademark. But I've got the certificate now. Yeah, how about that? So, please note, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, Bureau of Homeland, Department of Homeland Security maintains a trademark recordation system for marks registered at the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Parties who register their marks with the principal register may record these marks with CBP to assist CBP in an effort to prevent the importation of goods that infringe on registered marks. Doesn't really apply to me. It also, there's also another page in here that talks about deceptive emails, international opportunities, international services that they say prey on people that don't really know international law. And then there's my certificate. The United States of America, United States Patent and Trademark Office, post-traumatic winning, registration number 5820. That's all I'm going to give you. Registered on July 30th, 2019. How awesome is that? And then signed by Andy? I don't know. Director of the Trademark Office. So, yeah, it's official. So I opened that, and so I was like, yes, that's like totally legit. So that made me happy because I filed that a while ago to protect the intellectual property of post-traumatic winning, which I think is significant. And I have to tell you that I'm a little bit frustrated because post-traumatic winning works, and I don't know why, and it's starting to irritate me, but there's no way that you can look, you know, for instance, the Air Force, we talked about this on Friday, but the Air Force on a pace to have twice as much suicide, over twice as much suicide in 2019 as they did in 2018. In 2018, they were the only service to see a decrease in suicide. They went from 63 suicides, both reserve and active duty, to 61. They now, year to date, have 79, on a pace to get to 135. So that's more than doubled. Now, I talked about the statistics for the 2nd Marine Division, where I've done post-traumatic winning the most. Are this. They had 6 suicides, and I need to get all the data, and hopefully I'll get that, but they had 6 suicides since in the 6 months preceding me going there and starting to do the post-traumatic winning presentation, and then the work that they've done subsequent to that, which is significant, right, which is the second half of making this thing work. In the 7.5 months, going on 8, since then, they've had 1 suicide and 1 attempt, okay? So they've gone from 6 to 1. Now, if you throw attempts in there, and I don't know what the attempted suicide to suicide ratio is, but if it's 1 to 1, you've gone from 6 and 6 to 1 and 1. I mean, those are huge numbers. So you contrast what the Air Force is doing. You contrast what the 18,000 members of the 2nd Marine Division are doing. And yet you have other commanders in the Marine Corps who know about it. They haven't brought me there. And it's starting to frustrate me now. So I have to go on a PR campaign, right? Because there's data behind it. And there's a way. And, you know, one of the things I have these epiphanies. There's all kinds of news that we should talk about. You know, the Secretary of Defense saying, yeah, we need to put missiles in the Pacific. That'll get somebody's attention. But one of the things, and I don't know how these things come to me, but, you know, I was reading something that said, if you have a problem, seek help, right? Well, one of the things that popped into my head was part of that problem is you're in an organization, the United States military, and nobody knows you. So if you're now, what you're trying to do is have that person save themselves because your leaders don't know that person. So you're already at the end of the yellow spectrum, and you're beginning to blink amber. And so that kind of dawned on me. And when I hear this little piece of audio by General Mattis, and I hear Dave Furness talks about, you know, we have to know them better. And that's the key to all of this, right? So Here's Joe Mattis.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason they're stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CSC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
So this all starts with being an engaged leader, the kind of leader that everybody says they want to be. But if you're not talking to them on a daily, on a weekly basis, if they don't know you love them, then that's where it starts. That's where it starts. And so I listen to this, and I see those things like, if you have a problem, say something. Well, if you have a problem and nobody knows about it, that's an indictment of your leadership. We don't talk about it like that. We don't talk about it like that. So anyway, so my trademark, right, and that thought. Now, let me tell you, I had an experience over the weekend that I would tell you is was just an incredible experience for me. And somebody sent me something. Somebody sent me a pen. Okay? I'll tell this, the truth is, Ken Rogers sent me a pen. And it's made from wood, from Bella Wood, right, where Marines fought in World War I. And he was given a couple by the guy who made them. And he sent me one with this absolutely wonderful letter. And he talked about post-traumatic winning. And he said he wanted me to have one, because he said he thought I was worthy of it. Now, I will tell a story that I told before, but I think I came back from Iraq either the first or second time, and I think it was the first time. And my daughter, so it had been in November of 2005, Catherine was in middle school. And so she came home and she said, "Do you want to come to my Veterans Day program?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Okay, there's like a special place that you get to sit." And I said, "Okay." She said, "You and all the other veterans." I said, "Okay." So myself, my ex-wife, and Colleen would have been 2 years old or something like that. We go to this program. And so it is, they're the coolest programs, right? They're in your community, and here's all these veterans from that are part of the community that show up, that are fathers, that are grandpas, that are uncles, you know, brothers, whatever. And so we were sitting on the gym floor together, and I don't know how many, there might have been a dozen of us, maybe more. And so they go through the program, and, you know, the principal stands up and talks, and then I think a couple students read things, and then they had all the veterans stand up, and then they recognized the veterans that had fought in our wars, and they said, if you fought in World War II, please stand up, and they went through all the comments. It was the first time in my life that I got to stand up with the guys that had been, you know, my heroes as a little kid. And to say it was a thrilling experience is would not even do it, you know, would not even be an adequate way to describe it. Because, I mean, when I was a little boy, right, everybody was a veteran. And I loved history, and I read about it, and I read about the things they did, and I read about the places they went, and I read about their sacrifices. And for me, it was, I mean, they were my heroes. I mean, I wanted to be a baseball player, but baseball players weren't my heroes. The guys who fought for this country were my heroes. And so I remember looking around in a gymnasium in Grand Forks, North Dakota, town of about 70,000 people, and it was one of the greatest days of my life. Because I got to stand with them. So it ends, you know, and you stand around and talk and whatnot. And then we went home. And I actually went back to work. So I get home that night, and Catherine comes up to me, and she says, so what did you think? And I said, I think that was one of the coolest things I've ever been to in my life. And she looked at me, and she said, are you joking? And I said, nope. And she said, why? And so I explained it to her. You know, growing up as a kid, these guys were my hero. You know? And so I think as a Marine, and guys like Ken Rogers would kind of scoff at this, or at least they would publicly, but I know he would get it in his heart. When you meet Marines who fought in the difficult fights that the Marine Corps has fought in, I mean, there's an immediate reverie that goes with that. Like, they did that. They were there. And so Ken Rogers wears that. And I've got to know him. And so you can see the deja vu. You have a guy like that who looks at you and says, I think you're worthy of this. And you talk about having a great day, having a great day on Saturday. I mean, again, it was one of the most wonderful days of my life. And because this fraternity of people who don't run away when people start shooting, that they go towards it. And then they live with it. And they live with the aftermath for years and years and years. And then to have somebody like that say, I think you're worthy. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So... yeah, so guarding parking lots and trademarks and otherwise a cool weekend. So, good morning to you. We'll check the news here in a few minutes. The United States Marine Corps Band makes Monday official. Let me read you an email. You're right on. Mac, one man or woman in uniform or citizen can terminate an active shooter and end the violence. The old school way was wait for backup. Be well. Yeah, you're right. And that's why, to me, you know, the whole concealed carry thing is not a bad idea. You know, some people recoil from it. I don't. You know, there was that incident, and I don't know where it was, Ohio, Kentucky, someplace in the Midwest, where Oklahoma, I can't remember where the guy came into the pancake shop with a pistol, and he shot at his ex-wife and daughter, and somebody, you know, heard the shots, had a pistol, and killed him. I mean, otherwise, you know, what happens? You know, 15 people dead. So, and again, I'm, you know, we as a nation need to get our shit together relative to loopholes. And but you know what? Most of these people, they buy guns either legally, and they have mental health problems, or they buy them illegally. And, you know, what are you going to do about that one? The ones that I think are so exasperating are the one in Florida, where the kid was on everybody's radar. Where when kids at the school heard, they were like, yeah, he would do this. We knew he would do this someday. Where the social workers all know that kid by name. Where the cops all know that kid by name. And nobody did anything. The FBI even got warned. And they screwed that up. So, yeah. No, I mean, look, we have responsibility to make sure that people know what to do. So that's what we can control. And then, you know, and these stupid loopholes, you know. I don't know gun owners who want guns on demand. People that are gun owners are responsible Americans, right? They shoot with their guns. They believe they have the right to own a firearm to protect their home, because the police can't always get there in time to protect themselves, to protect their family. Most of them are sportsmen. They go out and hunt with them. But if you ask them, right, guns on demand, they'll say, yeah, not so much. Not without a rigorous background check. So, and anything that doesn't meet that standard, they would look and say, I don't have a problem with that. Most would. Most responsible gun owners aren't part of the out of my cold, dead hand. Like, well, if that's the way you want it, okay, but we'd rather not do that. So, anyway, the nation needs, but you know, it never happens like that. The only thing that will happen is that you'll hear people screaming from the left and try to make it a political issue, which will go nowhere. They'll scream from the right, right? The NRA will get paraded out, right? And it will all go nowhere. It will all go nowhere. So again, what can we control? You know, you can get you can look into getting a concealed carry permit yourself. And again, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. What is that saying? An armed society is a civil society? It's just a horrible, sad day. You know, you kiss your kid goodbye, you kiss somebody in your family goodbye, right? They're going to go out and have a good time, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call, they're dead. That's horrible. So, anyway. But I don't know. I mean, the leaders of this nation, and again, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, right, Mitch McConnell, and who's this? Kevin McCarthy? I think that's him in the House on the Republican side, and the president. They've got to get together and say, hey, look, you know, we have to look at the mental health piece and cross-indexing people that are making threats, because most of the time, right, these things don't happen out of silence. They happen out of threats, right? Is this person on this database, this mental health database? Do they own a firearm? Then somebody needs to go out and do a welfare check on. So, whoa, 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 that's a little bit too Orwellian. That's a little bit too much control. Well, let me tell you, if you're not willing to do that, then you're willing to accept that they have that right not to be interfered with. Which means their right to be free trumps your right to be alive. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. I think there's got to be a way that if you're on these lists, if you throw up these yellow flags, somebody should come and pay you a visit.
caught.
Yeah, no, sorry. That's the way I feel. Dedicated to Ken Rogers, who'd become a friend of mine, and so I'm standing in my kitchen reading the words that he wrote, and again, those guys have been my heroes forever. So this is dedicated to him. Thank you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around him. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PSC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Cloudy in 82 in Quantico right now. Partly cloudy in 84 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, it's already hot. Sunny in 91 already. At Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy in 65. You know, I have an issue with my weather browser. Like, there's a scroller, and sometimes it doesn't show up, and I have to reboot it. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 80, so it's stayed steady. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 82. In the Helmand, in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 105. In Ramadi, in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 100 degrees. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, it's already 70 degrees. Looking for a high of 83 today, 81 on Tuesday, and 80 on Wednesday. The weather over the weekend, absolutely gorgeous. In the upper 70s, come on, man, it was beautiful. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. Andy Milburn's going to join us. I taught Andy, so you're going to hear from him. And Andy's written about when do you disobey an order. So you're going to meet Andy, first of all. Right? He's a former commanding officer of the Marine Raider Regiment and Combined Special Operations Task Force in Iraq. He retired earlier this year as the Chief of Staff of Special Operations Command. He's writing a book called When the Tempest Gathers. So you're going to meet Andy Milburn. So, yeah. Yeah, how about that? You know what? Honestly, I love seeing and re-engaging with Marines I taught. And, cause first of all, they're great guys. And they've had some incredible experiences. And so it's always fun to reconnect with them. All right, we'll do that here in probably about 15 minutes. He'll join the program. There's a ton of news. We'll go over some headlines next on a Monday, on a very cool Monday here, in which the nation mourns, though. So sit your kids down, sit your family members down, and talk to them about what do you do when people start shooting. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope you made of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach.
Davis singing Hurt, because it's okay to hurt. All right, the news headlines, and there's a bunch of them. Stars and Stripes, I'll try to get to them quick. Andy Milburn going to join us. U.S. South Korea start low-key joint military drills after North Korean missile tests. So, you know, and well, we should. There's only one way to negotiate, and that is through strength. And so, Mr. Kim can shoot all the missiles he wants into the water. At the end of the day, the sanctions don't move, and our strength doesn't waver until you come to the table and want to negotiate. So that's in the news. U.S. launches a last-ditch effort to stop Turkey's invasion of northeastern Syria. Now, this is a big deal. Tens of thousands of Turkish troops have massed near the border with Syria. All right. And the Syrians are the Syrians that fought as part of our coalition. So the United States now, which has been on the outs with Turkey for a while over this issue, over the F-35 issue, which the F-35 issue is actually buying the Russian, S-400, air defense system. So anyway, U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper said that we need to put, ballistic missiles in the Western Pacific. Australia then came out and said, yeah, they won't come to Australia. A couple other headlines. Pentagon sees China's drug supply dominance as a security threat. Now, again, this is the way the Chinese do it, right? They low sell the market, they take over a market, and then they've got a hook in you. And they're not afraid to pull the hook. The president, probably something you all have seen, but he calls for strong background checks after mass shootings. Doesn't say how. So, anyway, we'll see. Also, a story we've been tracking for a while. A U.S. Navy SEAL and a Marine, a MARSOC, a Marine Special Forces Marine, face a hearing on the death of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger. So this has been in the news for a while. One of the ongoing stories about the Special Operations Community. Melger was murdered in Mali. They face an Article 32 hearing, which is essentially their arraignment, which could include evidence and testimony, which could lead to a court-martial proceeding at a later date. So that will be in the news again. From United States Naval Institute news, Fleet Tracker, the Harry Truman's in Norfolk, the Boxer is at the northern end of the Persian Gulf, the Lincoln is outside the Persian Gulf along Iran's southern coast, for those of you who track the fleet. The Ronald Reagan Carrier Strike Group is in the Philippines. The Wasp is at sea right now, northeast of Australia. So there's your fleet tracker. One other story of interest. Japanese defense, the head of Japanese defense forces warns the Chinese are making more and more intrusions near the Senoku Islands. Now, for those of you who don't know where the Senoku Islands, this is the same thing the Japanese and the Chinese have argued over these islands, much like what's going on in the South China Sea. So the South China Sea was a prelude to the East China Sea, where it is anticipated that at some point China will attempt to fortify an island. Japanese are saying that activity is increasing. So that interesting stuff. My thanks to Grant Newsham for making us smart about that. Headlines. This story was all over the news. The Navy football team nixes an inappropriate motto. So it's kind of an odd slogan for the Navy football team, which was, load the clip. Yeah. It was a motto chosen by senior midshipmen football players. And they're replacing it with win the day. So, the load the clip motto was deemed to be insensitive by the superintendent of the Naval Academy, Vice Admiral Sean Buck. But that was all over the news this weekend. So, Navy CNO takes over the Gallagher court-martial amid controversy. In a stunning move on Saturday, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson removed all court-martial authority from Navy Region Southwest, the command that had been weighing a sentencing. I thought, oh, they haven't done the change of command yet. Because the new CNO has been confirmed, they just haven't passed the torch yet. The command has been weighing a sentence for Special Warfare Operator Chief Eddie Gallagher. Quote, the CNO will assume responsibilities for any disposition action in the trial. Any previous post-trial action has been rescinded, read a statement emailed to the Navy Times by the Pentagon. Richardson's removal of Rear Admiral Betty Bolivar as a convening authority does not change the July 2nd verdict of a military panel of Gallagher's peers. The CNO's assertion of jurisdiction over Gallagher's case came only 2 days after he ordered authorities in San Diego to dismiss all charges against Lieutenant Jake Portier, who's accused of conduct unbecoming an officer. He was Gallagher's commanding officer in Alpha Platoon of SEAL Team 7 in Iraq. And that was at the end of last week when the President of the United States also got involved in this and said Navy Achievement Medals that were bestowed on four of the prosecutors involved in the case would be rescinded. So I've never seen anything like this. And honestly, you know, we talk about the struggles of the Navy. This is brutal. Fort Bliss soldier hailed as a hero in the El Paso Mall shootings. Private First Class Glendon Oakley Jr., an automated logistical specialist assigned to the 504th Composite Supply Company stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas, was among hundreds of customers at the Cielo Vista Mall in El Paso when a gunman opened fire. 20 people died, 26 others were wounded. Oakley said he was shopping at a Foot Locker when a child ran into the store and reported a mass shooting. Seconds later, he heard gunfire. He has a gun permit, drew his weapon, and ran out of the store. I saw a whole bunch of kids running around with their parents. I tried to pick up as many as I could and bring them with me, he told a news station. I'm in the military, so when I hear gunshots, I just think, take cover. But I was so worried about those kids. Unbelievable. God bless that guy. Right? God bless that guy. This is a story that I alluded to earlier. Mark Esper, U.S. To soon put intermediate range missiles in Asia. Australia said, yeah, not here. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said he wants to deploy an intermediate range conventional missile in the Pacific region within months, now that the Trump administration has formally pulled out of the Cold War era arms control treaty with Russia. Now, if you listen to commentators over the weekend, they say what's at work here is a three-party nuclear deal that involves the United States, China, and Russia. How soon that'll happen, you know, good guess. So that's in the news. And then real quick, top five stories in Early Bird today. I'm sure we've probably gone over most of them. Number one, Navy CNO takes over Gallagher court-martial amid controversy. Yeah, this, honestly, I don't know. It's like the Navy's an organizational disaster, right? Couldn't court-martial the CO of the Fitzgerald or the McCain? I mean, it's terrible. Second story, watch the skies, how a U.S. base in Greenland tracks ballistic missiles. Number three, Fort Bliss soldier hailed as a hero in the El Paso Mall shootings. Number four, Navy wife indicted in connection with baby's death in Hawaii military housing. That's a story of a daycare that was told it could not operate on base and did so repeatedly, violating base orders and cease and desist orders, whatnot. She has now been indicted in the on the charge of manslaughter and the death of a 7-month-old baby girl. Number five, Trump wants to pull U.S. troops out of Afghanistan by 2020. That's what Mike Pompeo said a week ago today. Then he backtracked on that. Some overseas operational updates. Russian spy planes enter Alaskan air defense zone. So that in the news. Uh, And that's it. All right, we'll take a break. When you come back, you're going to hear Andy Milburn. So I've been looking forward to this since I heard from him. And he evidently listens to the program, which is cool. And so when do you say no? And let me tell you this. I mean, I think that, you know, the military paradigm is, if it's not immoral, illegal, or unethical, that you're, as a uniformed service member, you follow orders. And what I would tell you is that if you look at these disasters, right, the ongoing one in Afghanistan and the one in the Middle East in Iraq, there were people that should have stood up and said, hey, you know, we shouldn't have done these things. We should not have done these things. So we're going to talk to Andy about that. And I mean, you hear me all the time talk about it, you know, putting your hand up and say, hey, look, I think it's all a great idea, but what happens if the Iraqis don't buy it? After we have the big parade, what happens if they don't buy it? What happens if what happens if the American people don't buy it? That we're trying to go ahead and, create something here in Afghanistan. And I think it's all a wonderful idea, and you know me, I'm on board with everything. But do the American people know this is probably going to take us 100 years to do? Are they willing? Has somebody said that? So they have the expectation that, you know, we're going to be fighting and dying here and getting blown up here for a long time. Because the Russians failed trying to do this. Okay? So if we're going to do it, patient, persistent presence for about 2.5-3 generations. That's going to be what it takes. Everybody understand? And then when people look at you and say, get his ass out of here, then what? You shut up in color? Yeah, I say, my own opinion is the politicians won't do the right thing. And they don't have the experience in global affairs, in foreign affairs, in fighting and dying and rebuilding, in my opinion, to make good decisions. Lyndon Johnson didn't. So, we'll look at all that. So, Andy Milburn going to join us next. Don't touch that dial.